And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
The Whiz Kids had won it, Bobby Thompson had done it, and Yogi read the comics all the while. Rock and roll was being born, marijuana we would scorn. So down on the corner, the national pastime went on trial. We're talking baseball, Klazuski, Campanella. Talking baseball, the man and Bobby Fella. The scooter, the barber, and the nuke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
From the heart of Queens to the ears of sports fans everywhere, this is the Sports Kings from Queens. Strap in because the Kings are in session. Today is Wednesday, August 12th. This is episode 247. I'm Gino, joined by my co-hosts, Kevin and Darren. Please catch us wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. Give us a look, join our pages. If you got something to say, leave us some comments, questions. We'll get back to you. It's the summer doldrums. It's hot. It's humid. It's sports potpourri time. We got nowhere to go. We're going to start it off with some baseball. Yankees for today, 67 and 52, 6 and 4 in their last 10. 6.5 games back of the scorching Tampa Bay team. Second best record in the American League. Darren?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll just put it like this. Still am not happy that Dominguez got sent down. I know it's not a big deal, but it is to me. I'd rather see him play. I don't see the upside of Helio Ramos as much as everybody else seems to. I don't see it upgrade. The bullpen still has Blackburn in high leverage situations, which is enough to make a grown man cry. The offense is inconsistent. Ben Rice has hit like one homer in the last like 7 months. Yet they have the second best record in the American League and you know, one of the best records in baseball. The Rays now have the best record in baseball. They just don't lose right now. And who saw that coming? With all these teams improved in the American League, you know they're going to be competitive because it's the Rays and they find a way. But who saw that coming? I did not. What the Yankees are telling me, though, is Bednar's been lights out, by the way. Lights out. And now it's like, okay, we're going to really need our starters to go seven. And we're going to need to have to piece together three outs, even though everybody has to face three batters, which I don't know how you're going to pull that off. And then go to Bednar for like the last four outs or two outs from everybody else. That's what we're at right now. Because, I mean, I know that Gino says everybody's bullpen is bad, and he's right. But this is particularly tough to watch this team. It really is. There's nobody in there that gives you any confidence in this bullpen right now outside of Bednar. And he can't go four or five outs every night. And, again, he's – you know, it's like Trevor Hoffman in the playoffs. When your best pitch is the off-speed pitch, I get nervous when you're a closer. I like Tim, my guy 102. That's just me.
Tim Hill, Brent Hedrick.
Yeah, I know these guys are great. No doubt about it. They're
not great, but they're better than most. And that's the two guys you're going to go to right now.
I can't. Better than most.
Statistically, they are.
Statistically, they are.
What are we saying? They're 13th out of 32? I don't know.
Statistically, they are. And at some point, you're going to get some of these starters that are going to wind up going to the bullpen. And that's how you're going to bridge the gaps. And that's it.
They have a starting rotation that's there and ready to go. They have an offense that's injured right now. But when coming back healthy, with the additions that they did make with Garcia first and all that other stuff, you feel good about the offense. You know Bellinger's coming back. You just don't know if Judge is. Stanton was not playoff Stanton last year, but hopefully with more rest this year, as he's played really not at all. He shouldn't be ready to be playoff Stanton again this year. Lombard, though he's been up and down, you can't argue with what he's done defensively. He definitely fits in the league. He definitely can hit. You can't argue with him. I like the idea. Gino's been screaming for Lombard for like a year and a half. Yes. So you were much bigger than me on it, and I love what they've done with this kid.
Well, I didn't know if he was ready. Let's at least bring him up and see if he's ready. That was my whole thing in spring training. Bring him up and see if he's ready.
So looking at the lineup tonight in the minors, the leadoff hitter was Volpe. Number two was Dominguez. Number three was Sherman. Five was Cabrera. I'm just saying that, like, all these guys that have been up, they're no longer. I would have still kept stuck with Dominguez. That's me, but because Grisham hasn't really inspired me. I don't know. There's still holes in that pen. It's going to be if somebody gets hot in that. If Hedrick can be consistently decent, and he's the guy you're kind of leading on, Hill against righties does not make you feel really, really good. You need one of the righties to come out of there and be able to get a right-handed hitter out here and there, and that's what you're hoping for. Right now it's Blackburn. Right now it's Blackburn.
Okay.
I mean, is there somebody else from the right side that they've been using? They've been using Blackburn in the big spots to me.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think one of the starters is going to wind up being the other pen guy.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Will Warren.
It's going to be Warren. Maybe winds up being, I don't know, Clark Schmidt if he's healthy come September.
It's kind of funny that, I mean, that's why, and I know we did the trade deadline show a couple of weeks ago. I would have tried to do something with Warren and Heal and tried to get another power arm in the pen. I really would have. Because neither one of them is going to figure much on this rotation in the near future at all. With Schmidt coming back, you're fighting Rodon. Rodon's coming back. You know, you had the starters already, but they didn't. So now this is what we live with.
I think the bigger need was the catcher.
They didn't really do that either.
Mitch Garver is signing the minor league deal.
He did so well in Seattle. They had to make sure that they – Seattle last or Texas? I forget one of those teams that released him the week of.
You know, Mitch Garver doesn't really do anything for me.
No, oh, Escaro is the guy batting fourth, by the way, in the minors. That was the guy I couldn't think of, the catcher, JP.
Yeah. a couple of years ago, sure, but nowadays, no.
It's just –
Garcia looks like he's okay hitting the ball. I got nothing else with the Yankees. I mean – It's hard for me to say. I know you're gonna say it, but it's hard for me when they're 15 games over, second best record in the American League. It's in August, mid August. It's hard for me to complain about anything.
No, I mean, the only thing I'm gonna say is because I don't think there'll be a season next year. I would have went all in. That's just my not much of a season. I would have went a little bit more all in because the rotation is ready for it. Okay. But like you said, they're 15 over. Kev, let's talk about the guys on the other side of town.
I need a scorecard to figure out their bullpen. From opening day till now, there's not one member of the bullpen currently who is in the bullpen opening day. That's how much is overturned. Senga and Manaea switched places, and Senga, also has become the closer. And you know what? Why not try it?
Yeah, nothing to lose.
You know, when he throws one inning, he can bring it high 90s and throw that fork ball. And if he goes with those two pitches, maybe it can work.
As long as he throws strikes, Kev.
That's, yeah, like everybody else, right?
If he's able to control, if he's able to get the fastball over, the fork ball set up. And if he doesn't, he's in trouble.
Yeah, but for the last 2 months, might as well give it a shot because the rest of the bullpen, I mean, this poor guy – coming in here tonight, the second appearance, Jack Weisenberger, or as Gary called me the other night, Weisenheimer.
Oh, God.
Slip of the tongue there. It's a land of opportunity right now.
Yep.
A guy like Nate Lavender, who 2 years ago, before he blew out his arm and had to do Tommy John and then had to do the internal brace, he was almost there on the roster. Now he's getting this chance for the last 2 months to see if he can be something for next year. That's what they're playing for, is who can be there for next year.
You got to love the Mets, though. They went from Love Lady to Lavender. You got to love the way they're just going with these masculine names.
So true. The one guy that's tough to watch is Jeffrey Yan.
Yeah.
Jumping up and
– Yeah, you don't need to do that.
Down and get excited and punt and – come on, stop.
It's not really necessary.
And the rotation is – no. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with the rotation going down the stretch, too, because McClain – okay, now McClain's got their 1 year now in the major leagues, 32 starts, 13-9, 3.07 ERA, 1.11 whip for his first full season.
Pretty damn good.
No.
It's very good.
161 innings last year, He's on pace for 182. He should be okay. The other two young ones are going to be interesting to see down the stretch here. Scott, he's at 92 innings. That's already his career high. Coming off missing last year with Tommy John. I wonder how much more you're going to push him.
I wouldn't go much more. I'd give him one more start. Maybe that's it. I'd get him up to the 100, 105, and that's it because you need him. He's been good.
Yeah. And Zach Thornton, now he doesn't throw quite as hard, but you know he's gone from 68 to 73, and this year he's rated at 102.
Maybe, what, 120?
Yeah, so he's got, what, three starts left?
Exactly, but it doesn't matter because they're not going anywhere. So you right, see what you need to see.
So they're going to have to figure out the rest of it because, you know, Sean Manaea is pitched really well.
Yeah, there's no pressure anymore.
Since May 1st, he's got a 3.11 ERA. That's a little bit more like what we were hoping for. The offense, you know, Ben just gotten hot again. He's over 270. Lindor Bichette is starting to play a little bit more towards the back of the baseball card. And, you know, we'll see. You know, there's still the black hole. I mean, Polanco, my goodness, he's at the 130s now.
So here's the funniest part of this whole conversation, right? We talked offline like 3 weeks ago, and Kev's like, I don't think I'll talk for more than a minute about the Mets. Rest of the year. Gino's sleeping. And you know what? But it's exciting when you see the kids playing, except for Gino, who doesn't like homegrown talent. But right. It's exciting for the rest of us. You know, I'm going to tease you about that forever, and you're going to disagree with me forever. But no, I'm just saying, you made this big statement. Like, oh, the Mets. We're not going to talk about the Mets at all. But yeah. Now you're kind of excited. You're seeing some things that you like, so it's good.
Yep. But like I said, that's about all I had. You know, those were all my points right there. That's why I had written down. Huh?
I said, I didn't mean for you to wrap up. I was just teasing.
No, but it was true. That was basically my points was, you know, land of opportunity in the bullpen. Question mark and how much more we're going to see these young starters. And, you know, it's Benjamin and Ewing and, you know, some of the other guys are hitting more to their baseball card. That's why they're scoring a few more runs at least. That's it.
Listen, they got some fun young talent. They're going to be a team that outfield set for a long time. If they can get the starting pitching, someone to go along with McLean, a couple of guys, I think that, and Scott, I think it'll be good. Hopefully it's Thornton, you know, and then you can kind of build off it.
I'd still rather get two starters, including the Nates for next year. If there is a next year, you'd rather Thornton be that sixth guy right now.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that.
That's for the offseason and if there is a next year.
Let's hope and pray that there is because the summer gets very lonely without it. We don't have the World Cup next year. We don't have
much.
We don't know if the Knicks are going to make a run into freaking late June. We don't know what we got. We don't know if a hockey team's going to make a playoff. We didn't have it this year. Hopefully they do to save us a little bit. But the fact of the matter is there's a lot of what ifs that we don't know about for next summer. So we need baseball, guys.
Care next summer might be the WNBA, and that's it.
Well, that'll be a show that just you do. It'll be Kevin talking WNBA. Listen, a couple of the quick things. Padres sweep the Brewers. And, you know, listen, you guys know I like the pods, but A.J. Prell is always all in. And that's what makes it fun. He goes out at the deadline, and he just acquires. And you know what? They have no minor league system because every time they acquire somebody, they trade them within 6 months. It's like a game of hot potato. Red Sox finally cooling off a little bit, G. They were, 23-4 in a stretch? I mean,
crazy stretch.
27-3, right?
27-3,
crazy stretch.
I mean, so you knew they had to cool off eventually. The Blue Jays got to them. But the thing about it right now is almost every team in the American League is in. The Tigers sold at the deadline, and they're in better shape than they were previously. I mean, they're right there in the race now. And the Guardians who bought at the deadline haven't done anything. And it's really just the American League is just completely wide open. The Blue Jays even under 500 or within a couple of games. The Orioles are still technically hanging around. It's like one of those things where you look at it and you're like, well, right now the Rangers would have the last wild card spot. The Tigers are a half game back. The Twins are a game back. Guardians are two. The Blue Jays and the Orioles are 2.5. And the Mariners are 4. The other three teams are out of it. I mean, but that's what this – sixth wild card is done. As much as I did love it originally, all these teams are in. The one thing I would say is I do think the trade deadline should be later for teams that are still in. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the right time. But White Sox are kind of currently in pretty good shape. The Astros have a half game lead in their division. Well,
how far back would you like to move it, Darren?
probably the 15th instead of the 1st. I mean, that's kind of like really where I'd be. I'd move it back 2 weeks. I don't know. Maybe it's not important, but I just feel like it's not a bad thing to do. Alex Bregman, all he does is hit home runs lately, by the way. The Cubs are within 3 if they win tonight against the Brewers, by the way. That's how good the Cubs are playing right now. Talking about teams that are hot. The Phillies and Dodgers have cooled off. Since they get Schuble, the Dodgers have cooled off. The Tigers have gotten hot, right, Kev? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Of course not.
The Phillies right now would technically be in the tie for the last spot with the Diamondbacks, half game behind the Padres. I mean, they could all gain. Marlins 2 out, Cardinals 2.5. The Nats 4.5. The Reds are 57-61. They're only 5 out. You know, I mean, so mediocrity is going to get you into the playoffs in the American League. It has a shot of getting you in the National League, even though the Padres, Diamondbacks, and Phillies aren't really mediocre teams, in my opinion. But, wow, we're going to have a nice pennant race, guys. We're going to have a really interesting pennant race in both leagues, I think.
Yep.
Anything else for you guys on baseball? All right, Ken, let's go around the horn with you. What do you got?
All right, I've got some gems here. So one of the teams that – I don't know if you mentioned them. Oh, yeah, right at the very edge of the wild card race here, the Washington Nationals.
Yes.
So the other night, extra innings, Mike Mikolas, the 37-year-old pitcher, pinch hit in extra innings, laid down a sacrifice bunt that scored a run. That's how they ruled it, sacrifice bunt, not suicide squeeze or safety squeeze. But anyway – he's only the 3rd pitcher with an RBI since a full-time DH. When I mentioned a couple weeks ago for the Braves, Victor Medeiros and Ryan Nelson last year. More interesting, his at-bat was the first plate appearance this year by a national age 30 or above. Every other at-bat has been 29 or under. Nobody's ever got a full season. I mean, believe it or not, this year, the Marlins with 50 and the Cardinals with 100 have had very few. The record all time, the 67 Kansas City Athletics, who had 156 at-bats of players over 30. So, I mean, that was a team with Reggie.
That's crazy. That's a cool stat.
Catfish Hunter, Joe Rudy, Rick Monday, Sal Bando, you know, all those names from the 70s.
Yep.
Interesting thing, though, on Reggie was he was part of the youngest team there in 67. He was on the 82 Angels. 6,100 of their 6,350 plate appearances were players age 30 and over.
So he went from the youth.
He went from youth
to the vets.
The 13 years later, the oldest team ever.
Oh, that's great.
Jacob Mizrowski got his 200th strikeout this year in his 129th inning. Second fastest to reach that in the season. Word of caution, though, the fastest was Spencer Strider, who did it in 123. And we've seen what Spencer Strider's done the last 3 years with the arm injuries.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
We hope Mizrowski is too much fun to watch. We hope it doesn't happen to him. But that velocity.
When you think of those electric guys early on, like Tim Lincecum and other guys like that, whose careers have just curtailed, even the Dark Knight, man, even Harvey. I mean, you have these guys, Thor, just local guys like that, that come out like with a vengeance, and then the arm injuries, you know, curtail their careers. And hopefully it doesn't happen to Miz. You're right. I agree with you.
All right. Couple of non-major league games that were interesting to me.
Wait, Kev, one more thing. I wanted to bring up before. You know, Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah.
Right now, real close right now, the Triple Crown status, you know, 322 leading the league, 35 home runs, tied for the league lead, and 87 RBIs, only 4 back of CJ Abrams, unbelievably, is leading the league in RBIs.
And this was a light hitting shortstop that's now just powering it all over the place. He wasn't a power hitter.
He also leads the league in on base slugging and on base plus slugging, which is. When I looked at this the other day, I thought I was looking at Aaron Judge from last year. I was like, this is ridiculous. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
No problem. No,
it's a great stat. It's a great stat.
So an A-ball game, the Dodgers A-ball affiliate, the Ontario Tower Buzzers, beat the Seattle A-ball team, the Inland Empire 66ers, 22-21. Ontario scored 11 runs in the first, led 16-0. Inland Empire came back 11 in the seventh, 7 in the ninth. Couldn't quite come back all the way. The 43 runs scored, the most in a minor league game since 2011.
Okay.
When here's a good part. The Inland Empire 66ers beat the Bakersfield Blaze 24-19.
Oh, God.
And that game was set the record. 4 hours, 55 minutes, longest nine-inning professional baseball game on record.
Jeez, my goodness.
So if you go to an Inland Empire game, be careful.
You got a shot. You got a shot of seeing history.
Interesting
stat. How many shootouts have they had in between? I'm just curious.
Yeah. The Ontario reliever, Jose Cabrera, for the season.
I feel like we've all seen him pitch. I'm kidding. I'm sorry.
This game, he gave up 7 runs in the third of an inning, which leaves him with a 19.44 ERA this year. He's also 4-0. He was released. That gives his 2-season total with an 8.45 career ERA. He's 13-1.
Oh, my God.
David Stearns has been looking for his agent's phone number there to sign him for the Mets bullpen.
He's all over him.
If you think that was high scoring, the Pioneer League, the Idaho Falls Chuckers, 40. The Great Falls Voyagers, 18.
You lost by 22 runs and you scored 18. Okay.
Pioneer League record, 40 runs. But just give me an idea of this league. It's a bunch of – the Pioneer League is all two-year or younger developmental players. It's sort of loosely affiliated with baseball. The league collective ERA, 8.40.
So it's the Yankee bullpen.
And the collective OPS, 953.
Oh, God.
The two games around, so the night before, Idaho Falls won 19-14. The day after, they won 26-20. So this league is just bonkers.
Has it all, Kevin. It has it all.
Yep. Two trivia questions for you guys.
Sure.
All right.
Three players with at least 1,000 plate appearances have more walks than strikeouts in their career.
Joe DiMaggio.
Current players.
Current players. Sorry. Okay.
Luis Arraez. Yeah.
Luis Arraez is one.
More
walks than strikeouts.
One other slap hitter type and one more of a slugger. Or is a slugger.
So another slap hitter type. 1,000 It's not Jose Ramirez, is it?
Nope.
All right.
His teammate, though.
So we have a guardian. Is he the slap hitter or the power hitter?
The slap hitter.
The slap hitter.
Stephen Kwan.
Yes.
Kwan makes sense. Great one. Great one, Gino.
And then the other guy's a slugger. Strikeouts. Known for his good eye.
What?
Known for a very good eye.
Okay. What league?
Currently National League.
Olsen?
No.
It's not Matty Olsen. Okay. Certainly not Machado. It's not Devers. It's not.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, but Devers strikes out more. He walks a lot, dude, but he strikes out.
Soto?
Juan Soto.
Soto. You know he had to make it about a Met. You know who he is.
And the last one,
great question.
The last one, Salvador Perez just became the Kansas City franchise leader in home runs.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go.
Four current playing major leaguers lead their franchise in home runs. Not that they.
Well, Machado's one. Machado's one of them. So
Machado's one.
Machado's one. Two don't play with the current franchise that they have the record for.
Okay. It's not Trout, correct?
It is Trout. He has the Angels record.
Okay, he has the Angels record. I wasn't sure if he had it or he didn't. Okay. So then the other two are guys that do not play on the
– with the team they hold the franchise record for.
All right.
Both with New York ties, though.
Is Soto one of them?
Nope.
I'm thinking it's got to be a National, but maybe I'm wrong.
Wolf with New York.
Nope, not a national.
It's not a national.
Stanton.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. That was a Marlins. So that's Stanton. That's that three. Is the other one like a Tampa player?
Nope.
Nope. Trying to think of teams that have weak home run hitters for their historical, you know, they haven't been around that long.
You gotta kill yourself when you hear this one.
Wow.
All right, give it to me.
Alonzo.
Oh, Alonzo. Oh my God. The only team as weak offensively in history as the Padres is the Mets. I didn't put it together. It's ridiculous. And it's not that the Mets would have, but every time somebody gets close to being really good, they let them go, like Strawberry or, you know. I mean, that's just what the Mets do.
Yep.
You know,
good one, Kev.
The guy they hold on to is David Wright, whose back goes. So, you know, that's just right. What happens.
Of course.
No, good stuff, though. One last baseball thing real quick. Tim Anderson retired at 33. I thought he was much older than that. His most memorable thing to me, I mean, I know he won the batting title a few years back, was getting knocked out by Jose Ramirez in the little thing in second base. But yep. I thought he was much older than 33. I don't know. Obviously, I don't know anything because I thought he was like 40 already. I had no idea. But he came up young. That was the last baseball thing I had.
Yep.
All right, Kev, let's talk basketball, pal.
All right. So the biggest news probably was last week. LeBron signs with the 76ers. So that sort of completes their offseason when they also bring in Jaylen Brown, add into Maxey and Embiid and Edgecombe. Do they realize that there's only one basketball they use during the game?
They're loaded for bear.
This is championship or bust.
Yeah.
When you put together this team. It's going to be interesting to see how some of these egos and some of these guys with high usage rates. I mean, Brown was number three in the league last year. And Bede, when healthy, is number six. Maxey was 27. I think the only reason he was lower overall was when Embiid played, he had the higher usage rate. Without Embiid, Maxey could dominate the ball. They've got all these guys that dominate the ball, want the ball in their hands. What are they going to do? How are they going to get rid of their egos to be able to play team basketball? You know, that's the beauty with the Knicks is that they know that Brunson is the alpha.
Yep.
And everybody else knows what their role is. And there are going to be games when OG comes up big offensively or Hart or Bridges, you know, Cat, you sort of assume. What's going to happen with this team? How are these personalities going to mesh? And knowing that Embiid is always hurt, that LeBron, you know, at 41 has been more injury prone, he needs his load management. Are they going to be able to gel in time to be a playoff threat?
My concern is Edgecombe and actually him going a little bit backwards, and is his maturation going to get stunted by this? The reality is who's going to take the shot down the stretch right now? If I asked you who's it going to be, to me it's Maxey. I can't see him going to Brown. I can't see him going to LeBron, and I can't see him going to Embiid. Maxey's the guy that's going to create, much like the Knicks do with Brunson. But yeah. I wonder about Edgecombe because he looked so good last year. Like, how much does he have to alter his game to play with these guys? And listen, I mean, on paper, Philly's the best team in basketball right now. I mean, you know, let's be honest. If everybody's healthy and everything's good and they all learn how to gel, there's nobody that should be able to compete with this team. But at the same time, you know, they could finish fifth, you know, because they may not gel. So we got to find that out.
Yep. Well, with no opening day, the Knicks and 76ers open up. Knicks get to hang the banner that night.
Yep.
Knicks also have the noon game against the Spurs Christmas Day, so maybe the Spurs will go out Christmas Eve, get hammered, and not show up for the game.
Still an NFL holiday.
Christmas? Yeah, the NFL thinks though, right?
Well, they win the stats. They win the Nielsen ratings, but
I know.
I mean, they crush it. I mean, listen, New York might be a buzz against the Spurs at that point. And again, we talked about it a lot before, so I'm not going to repeat it much. But last year, I was intrigued by Wemby. Now I just know him as a dirty player. Just after watching him, he was so much dirtier than I expected. I just didn't expect it. But, you know, just one of those things.
A couple of other pieces of news. The Lakers were sold today to a group led by Bob Iger, the former Disney CEO. and Josh Kushner.
Kushner. You
know, if that last name rings a bell, it's Jared Kushner's brother, Trump's son-in-law.
Yep.
Russ Westbrook retires.
Yep.
All-time leader, 209 triple-doubles. Jokic, though, right on his tail at 198.
Yeah, he'll pass him this year. But
probably this year, yeah.
But you know what? It's still a great career for Westbrook. For a guy that can't shoot, he found a way to play a long time, still really strong defensively all the way down almost to the end.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, he was never a popular guy, never someone that was a fan favorite for a lot of people, but he always put up the numbers.
I mean, four-time average triple-double for the season.
Yep.
Season. First, I mean, he was the first guy to do it since Oscar Robertson back in the day.
Yep, no doubt.
And, you know, first 11 years were okay. First 11 years in OKC, it's a shame that team got broken up too quickly. You know, Harden left early and Durant left eventually, and Russ was the last man standing. That would have been interesting to watch that team play.
It's yeah, hard to imagine them not being successful with that start, plus everything Presti's gotten along the way for all those guys, though, has built what he's got now. But, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. What would have been interesting was if those three guys with OKC, they could have had a coach like the late, great Don Nelson. Would he have unleashed that offense?
Run TMC, baby, amongst a million other things. And Gino, just to bring it back, used to wear the fish tie occasionally in high school, the Don Nelson fish tie. Did it a little bit off Mr. Doran, who was one of our economics teachers, but also a tribute to Mr. Nelson. Gino did wear the fish tie.
I did.
Point it out.
You know, I mean, you know, Nelson, five-time champion as a player. Celtics retired as number 19. Then became the all-time winningest coach until Pop passed him in, I think, 22.
Yep.
So, no, but second all-time in wins with 1,335. Couldn't win the championship, unfortunately, but this team was so fun. Like you said, Darren, that Run TMC team was so much fun.
Remember, Weber was like
personality.
Weber was a rookie, and they were just running and gunning, and he was an hour-back disciple. So it was all about conditioning, and yep. I was watching an interview with Mullen and Richmond and Hardaway. The three of them were being interviewed, and Nelson used to crush Hardaway, like in practice, saying he was too slow, saying he wasn't this. He'd have like a 30-point night, and he crushed him the next day, make him run. He did the same thing to Richmond, not as much to Mullen, but I think he knew Mullen was probably hungover. But he would really hammer the other two guys a ton. Great coach, great personality. Yep. You know, one of those guys that was fun to watch on the sidelines, Kevin.
Yep, no doubt about it. Any other NBA points, Darren?
For me, no. Now, let's go to the league that you really love, Kev.
Which one? The women's NBA. What is a woman? Well, we're going to find out. Enes Kanter-Freedom and Royce White are going to test the limits of that, aren't they?
It's gotten a little bit too political and a little too crazy in the WNBA. And it's not just these two guys. They're part of it. Don't get me wrong. But the WNBA has got an opportunity to grow, and they keep kicking themselves in their own asses.
You know, it's the 30th anniversary. You know, they finally got a huge TV deal. They're on TV all the time. The talent coming in from colleges just increased every year, and they keep shooting themselves in the foot. You know, Sophie Cunningham comes out last month in the ESPN article, only women should be in women's sports. And that's controversial. I don't know. I never knew that was controversial. Then this weekend, you know, Dejani Cunningham takes her out with a clothesline on a layup attempt. And then she gets all frustrated. You know, she thinks, you know, she gets thrown out of the game as a flagrant two. And
she that's a flagrant two in any league you watch ever. It's a clothesline.
And then she's in the locker room after she gets ejected, tweeting out white privilege at the Indiana Fever. This league, like I said, 30 years, finally with positive, with the TV deal, like I said, with the players coming in, and this crap that's affecting the league and what people are talking about. Nobody cares about the final score was of the Fever game of the day. They want to talk about Sophie.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. The NBA has been around for a long time. Race doesn't come up. I mean, it come up a couple of times where Rodman said if Bird was a black player, he'd be average. Maybe that was a big deal. But you watch these old players talk about Larry Bird, and they freaking talk about him so glowingly and so nastily at the same time. talked trash, and he did, you know, and he hit the last three shots on me left-handed just to make me embarrassed. I mean, it's never been about race in the NBA, okay? No. There might be moments here and there and a couple of things, but the fact of the matter is it's been about the brand of ball, and they need the WNBA needs leadership at the top that understands that whether you like Caitlin Clark or don't, whether you have to embrace her talent in one way or another. Whether Agent Wilson's still probably the best player in this league, you don't hear a word about
her. Nobody talks about her.
No, because nobody cares. Because the fact of the matter is they're so involved politically now with who should be playing in this league and who shouldn't be. And it should be somebody at the top saying, hey, listen, these are the rules. This is what we're trying to do. We're in our 30th year. We're still losing money every year, but we're getting closer. We finally have a TV deal. Gino's watched 17, 18 games this year. Hand up, Gino. Go ahead.
Oh. Here's the problem.
Yep.
The NBA never should have gotten involved in this league, and they should have let it fold 7 or 8 years ago when they funded the league. And then this would not have continued. But the NBA funded the league. And then everybody decided to say, hey, we should do this and we should do that. And, oh, our salary should go up and we should do this and we should do that. And this is what happens when you do that.
See, the funny part is you could have personalities in the WNBA and NBA and it'd be great.
Yeah.
Listen, whether you're an Angel Reese fan or you're not, she's a personality. She's someone that you could like or dislike or whatever. The league needs that kind of thing. But it's not about personality right now. Now it's simply about race. And the sport doesn't need any – you don't need half the country saying I automatically won't watch it. Because the fact of the matter is I haven't watched a minute of any game, nor is Gino. I can't speak to you, Kev, because you might have watched a minute or two. But that's it. I mean, does your daughter – either one of your daughters, I should say, clamor to say, Dad, let's go watch a WNBA game?
No.
Bill Burr had it best. I have men's sports. It's not up to me to watch the WNBA.
Right.
I have men's sports to watch that are competitive. And that's really what the thing is. But if you're going to sit there and make it divisive, I'm going to watch to see what kind of a joke it is next. They can't be a joke. They need leadership. Gino, you're right. Should be separate from the NBA. They should have their own league. They should have leadership at the top that's going to sit there and make the league grow or it's going to bust. The talent is there, as Kevin pointed out. These are some really good ball players. Would they lose? I mean, what was the thing that one of the guys put out that he'd put up any high school team against their all-star team and win? And he would. Who was it?
It was Portnoy, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Portnoy? It might have been Portnoy.
Marshall Schwartz? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the whole thing. I mean, and he's probably right. It would have happened and everything. But it's like, you know, the league can't have a black eye on it the whole time. Just need leadership because the talent is there. There's some good ball players that can play competitive basketball, and there's a fan base for it if they really want it. Now, we've talked way too much about it already, and Gino's going to cancel the show in about 3 seconds if I don't shut up. That's all I got.
I think Darren said more than I did.
Darren, you had some buried treasures for us?
I do. I got a couple things, but we'll start with the treasures. All right, guys. Lefty Grove. You guys know what Lefty Grove was traded for?
No.
A fence. Okay. In 1920, a storm knocked out an outfield wall in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Jack Dunn, the guy that discovered Babe Ruth, by the way, offered to pay for the new fence in exchange for a 20-year-old left-handed pitcher who learned how to throw by firing rocks. He pitched 5 years for the Orioles, okay, went 108-36, struck out 1,108 batters, right? So then Connie Mack comes by. Gives him $100,600, $600 more than Ruth. He comes out first year, goes 10-12. They call him the $100,000 lemon. Oh. And then after that, he explodes. 9 ERA titles, 7 straight strikeout crowds. From 1930, of July of 30 to September of 31, he went 46-4. The best record in any 50 decision time ever in baseball. He had 300 wins all after the age of 25. I have no idea, and he's the only guy ever that I can find in my research that was traded for a fence. Okay. Another one for you, but this one, I think you guys might get this trivia one. three players had at least 290 homers in the 70s during the decade. Three players at 290. All three is the only reason why I'm saying.
Reggie?
Reggie's one.
Dave Parker.
Nope. Right team.
Stargell.
Stargell, two.
Stargell. Joe Morgan.
Right team again.
That must be
Johnny Bench.
Johnny Bench. Those are your three guys that hit 290 in the 70s.
Wow.
Here's a nice trivia. Not a trivia question, but a question for you guys. How many hits did Brian Sandberg have as a Philly?
150?
Okay, he had one. Now, as a Philly, he had one hit. He did it with Larry Bowa's bat, who traded for him when he took over as manager of the Cubs, and he did it at Wrigley Field.
Wow.
One hit as a Philly. Larry Bowa traded for him. He got the one hit. He borrowed Bowa's bat, the whole thing. And then just a tribute to the San Diego Chargers of 2010, which is also my fitting tribute to Kevin Ward's fantasy football teams. This team finished first in the NFL in total offense in 2010. Also finished first in total defense in 2010 and finished 9-7 and didn't make the playoffs. It's got Kevin's fantasy football teams written all over him. Every week I go up against somebody that crushes me and I have a great week. I have the third most points and I'm not making the playoffs. This is what we dealt with for years until Kevin eventually quit my league. But yes. So that, I saw that stat and I thought of you immediately, my friend.
Thank you.
And those would be my treasures this week.
All right. Anybody got anything else as we go around?
I got a couple of quick college football points.
All right.
So season tickets of the national champion University of Indiana cost $458 to get season tickets. The cheapest ticket for the LSU Ole Miss game is $617. The cheapest ticket to watch Lane Kiffin come back to Ole Miss is $617. You can buy season tickets for the champs for $458. And as we are into summer practices, getting into fall season, always reminded with the great Frank Leahy. What school did he coach?
Notre Dame.
Absolutely. Lads, you are not to miss practice unless your parents have died or you have died. Practice was important to Frank Leahy, apparently, and we're going to leave it there. Ed, you got anything you want to go with?
No, I've got nothing else.
I got two more quick things then. I'll let you guys go into this. The Buffalo Bills, genius, built a $2.2 billion stadium with obstructed views. How do you not know that? And then finally, the Live Tour cancels their final team event August 27th through 30th in Michigan. It's like a $40 million event. They announced it to the players today, but they couldn't get the word out. So people were still buying tickets after they canceled the event. The Live Tour has been nothing but dynamic. The TV ratings have been through the roof. This is, thank God it's going to be gone soon and we can just get everybody on the PGA Tour and watch the best players in the world play every week. Yeah. That's kind of all I got, guys. Anything else, G? Anything else you want to throw in on Potpourri Day?
Yeah, congratulations to my Washington Commanders who finally got a wide receiver to play opposite Terry McLaurin, signing Mr. Diggs to play on the opposite side. I finally have two wide receivers for Mr. Daniels to throw the ball to.
You know what happened last year? They didn't think Debo was old enough, so they went after Stephon.
Okay. That's fine. I'm very happy.
Kev's upset because Debo's a Carolina guy, and I shouldn't be making fun of him, but Debo just didn't have a good year last year, but he's been a great player. That's it?
That's it. That's all I got.
Kev, anything else?
Nope. I'm done.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Darren, Gino, Kevin, talk about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where we spent like 5 minutes on the WNBA. Shoot me in the head. Please download the podcast anywhere you get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We haven't posted a lot on social lately, but we're getting there. We're in the season of baseball pennant race. We're in the season of the NFL kicking off. We're in the season of college football, which we're going to be talking about heavily over the next couple of weeks. So watch out for the stuff we post. Share our stuff. Tell us what you want more of, and we'll give it to you. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.